This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم صدق الله العظيم. Respected scholars, beloved students, friends and elders in Islam, we have gathered today because it is the 15th night of Sha'ban. And as we are sitting here, we are seated with different mindset, different information coming from different platforms due to the access we have to these information through social media. Someone might have read that it is an innovation. Someone might have read that it is a sunnah. So what is the reality in this matter? The 15th night of Sha'ban has been a subject of debate amongst the scholars in its authenticity. So let us understand that yes, the narrations that are coming to us regarding the 15th night of Sha'ban are weak. They are weak. We are not denying that. But there are so many narrations coming regarding 15th night of Sha'ban that one is compelled to accept that this night does hold some kind of significance. Are you getting my point? The narrations are weak, but there are so many narrations that one has to accept that there is something there. There is something in this night. That is why Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi mentions the same thing. That yes, the narrations coming to us are weak, but there are so many narrations that one is compelled to accept that this night does hold significance. What to do in this night, whether to fast or not fast, it is a different topic of its own. Inshallah, we'll talk about that later on. But if we have gathered here, then we have gathered for a reason. And the reason is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this night, because it holds significance. Respected elders and friends, now how can one benefit from this night? And how is this night blessed night? How is this night a blessed night? You know, the best way a believer can benefit from this night is by asking for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because there are so many narrations regarding forgiveness in this night. It comes in a narration, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in this night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gazes at His creation. He looks at His creation, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives each and every creation, except for two. Except for two. Number one, an idolater, a person who has to ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, a person who has to harbor ill feelings regarding another brother in his heart. These are the only two people not forgiven in this night. And this comes in the narration of Musnad Ahmad. According to another narration, everyone is forgiven in this night except for two. Number one, who has to harbor ill feelings regarding another brother. Number two, a murderer. He's not forgiven in this night. So there is one thing common in these two hadith, in these two narrations, and it is breaking the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one is an idolater. Everyone seated here, no one has come here because he doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone is here because he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But the second one, harboring ill feeling regarding another Muslim brother. That is what we are supposed to worry about. And inshallah, we will elaborate more on this matter later on. You know, they say that keep your phone and your heart so clear that if someone has to ask you at any given time to show it to them, we shouldn't be shy. Today, forget about our hearts. We can't even show our phone to someone. You know, when we give it to someone to check, obviously it is against the ethics for a person to start scrolling, right? But if we give it to someone to check, and if he starts scrolling, he will straight away snatch it. Hey, you might end up seeing something which you are not supposed to see. Forget about our hearts. I'm only talking about our phones. Then what more about our hearts? If they are to be open today, can we show it to others? Let us ask a question to ourselves. So I was talking about the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this night. The second narration, Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions that on the 15th night of Sha'ban, I saw Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam performing salah, and he went into sajda, and he prolonged his sajda to such an extent that I got scared. That is he still alive or not? So I even started touching his legs to check if he's alive. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved his legs. And then Hadrat Aisha mentions that I heard the Prophet of Allah crying out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the words, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika bi ridaka min sakhatik. Allah Ta'ala, I seek your refuge in your happiness from your anger. Wabi mu'afatika min ukubatik. I seek your refuge from your punishment in your pleasure. Wa'udhu bika mink. And Allah Ta'ala, I seek your protection from you. La uhsi thana'an alayk. I cannot praise you enough. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. And you are the way you have praised yourself. So even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking for forgiveness on the 15th night of Sha'ban. It comes in another narration. Subhanallah, what a beautiful narration. Hadrat Aisha mentions that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me that on the 15th night of Sha'ban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives more people than the hair which is found on the ships of Banu Kalb. Banu Kalb was a tribe which was famously known for their great flock, for their animals, plenty animals. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives more people in this night than the hair which is found in all those animals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those. And it comes in another narration, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in this night, from the sunset till dawn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes on the lowest of heavens, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts making an announcement. Is there someone to seek for forgiveness so that I forgive? Is there someone to ask for prosperity so I grant him prosperity? Is there someone to ask for relief in his struggles so I grant him relief from his struggles? So if a person has financial issues, this is the night. If a person thinks he has transgressed, he has broken all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the night. If a person thinks he is going through struggle, nothing seems to be right, this is the night. And subhanallah, there are many other narrations regarding other nights with the same wordings, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes on the first sky and he asks the same question. But in those narrations it is mentioned that Allah Ta'ala only does that in the third part of the night, at the time of tahajjud. But when it comes to 15th night of Sha'ban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts making this announcement from Maghrib, which we already performed, till tomorrow Fajr inshallah. So that is the significance of this night. And we are supposed to understand one thing from all these narrations. Let us reconcile with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. Let us return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. No matter how many commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have broken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to forgive. Ya ibadiya alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't be despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People will talk. That is why people are created. They are going to talk bad about you and I. They spoke bad about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They spoke bad about Allah. Then who are you and I? Let us not focus on what people have to say. Let us return to Allah. Let us reconcile with Allah no matter what we have done in the past. Do we all make that intention today, inshallah? Inshallah. So that is the first thing we understand from the 15th night of Shaban, to ask for forgiveness from Allah. And alhamdulillah, we have all made tawbah today. There is no restriction in tawbah. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that you have to come with $10,000, $500 to ask for forgiveness. Zero. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say you have to come in the middle of the night. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say you have to come to Kaaba to ask for forgiveness. Wherever you are, in whatever condition you are, just say, oh Allah, I have transgressed. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. And Allah says, I will forgive. Allah says, I will forgive. That is the first thing. The second thing, there are many questions we receive. And it is that, what are we supposed to do in this night? What actions are we supposed to perform in this night? There is no particular authentic narration which talks about a particular action, that we are supposed to perform this salah, or we are supposed to do this ibadah. There is no such narration. Yes, a person should try and seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing salah, by performing optional prayers, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it. The third question which we normally receive is that, what are we supposed to do tomorrow? Are we supposed to fast on the 15th of Sha'ban? Then let us understand that again, there is no particular narration which talks about only fasting on the 15th of Sha'ban. It was a practice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fast on the 14th, 15th and 16th of every month, not only in Sha'ban. But in Sha'ban, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast a lot. He used to fast a lot. And the reason why he used to fast a lot, which he has mentioned, is that in the month of Sha'ban, the annual deeds of a believer are presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say that, when my deeds are presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want that they are presented whilst I am fasting. That is why he used to fast a lot in the month of Sha'ban. So if a person is intending of fasting tomorrow, then he should fast on the 15th and 16th and any other day, inshallah. Okay, so that is the mas'ala regarding fasting on the 15th of Sha'ban. This was related to 15th of Sha'ban, and we normally get this information every year. We are all aware about it. It is not something new. But there is another thing which is always mentioned whenever a bayan is given regarding 15th of Sha'ban, which I already mentioned. And it is that everyone is forgiven in this night, except for a few group of people. Number one, as I mentioned, a person who has to ascribe partners with Allah. No one here says that he doesn't believe in Allah. Number two, a person who has to harbor ill feelings. And that is something which we have to work very hard on. There are some other narrations which also mention other few groups, like a person who has to disobey his parents is not forgiven in this night. A person who has to break ties with his family members, with his friends, is not forgiven in this night. You know, let us understand this, why it is so important that Allah Ta'ala is not saying that in this night everyone is forgiven except for the person who misses his salah or who doesn't fast. Allah Ta'ala is only talking about good conduct and character. Why? Let us understand this. In the beginning period of Islam, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started preaching deen, he was asked, Mal Islam? What is the definition of Islam? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Buniyal Islamu ala khamsin. The foundation of Islam is based on five things. Look at the example Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is using. He's using the example of construction. He's using the example of a building, that the foundation of Islam is based on five things. Number one, bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger. Number two, perform your salah. Number three, fast in the month of Ramadan. Number four, give out your mandatory charity, give out your zakah. Number five, go for hajj. This was in the beginning period of Islam, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these are the pillars. And when a person has to start building a house, and if he is only done with the pillars, he is not going to say, this is my house. He's going to say, this house is under construction. My house is under construction. Or someone is building a hospital. If only the pillars are in place, they are not going to say, this is a hospital. They are going to say, this hospital is under construction. Now let us come towards the end of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his final hajj, says, Inni bu'ithtu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq. I have been sent to complete your lifestyle, to complete your good conduct and character. Utammim, to complete something. So when in the beginning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, he said, the foundation of Islam is based on five things. And towards the end he's saying, the completion of this religion is based on good conduct and character. The roof of the house of Islam is good conduct and character. That is why in the last days, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by Amr ibn Abasa, that O Prophet of Allah, Mal Islam, same question which was asked in the beginning. Mal Islam, what is his reply? What is his reply? It'amut ta'am, watibul kalam, feeding others and having a sweet tongue. Same question, different reply. Feeding others and having a sweet tongue. And when a person has a sweet tongue, wallahi, he leaves an effect in every person's life. And I'll give you an example to that. We all know Professor Mullah in our society, Dr. Mullah. When his son passed away, what was everyone saying? Gentleman, beautiful person, golden man. Why were they saying that? I still remember 2 years ago, I think so it was 2 years ago, when I gave a bayan on the 15th of Shaban, and he met me outside. And the words that he shared with me, I still remember them. You know why? Because they were sweet words. And today I am talking about him. Here is an example in front of us. When a person has a sweet tongue, he has an impact on each and every person's life. And that is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining to us. Again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked, Ayyul Islami Afdal, who is the best person in Makani? Who is the best person in Makani? What is the reply of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Man salima al-muslimuna min lisani wa yadi. That person is the best person who doesn't harm someone with his hands or with his tongue. There is another hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the best of you is he who's most beneficial to the society. If we can't be from that group, let us not be from this group where we are harming others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seated with a group of people, and someone says that, O Prophet of Allah, there is a lady, she performs her salah and she loves to fast, but she has a harsh tongue. The Prophet of Allah said, she's going to go in Jahannam. I am not saying this. Who are we to decide about someone going in Jannah and Jahannam? Whatever Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke, it was wahi. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, she'll go in Jahannam. Then they said, no, there is another lady who doesn't perform her salah or who doesn't fast, but she has good conduct and character. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, she'll go in Jannah. She'll go in Jannah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seated with Hadrat Abu Bakr, and he says that there are 360 qualities of good conduct and character, 360 branches of good conduct and character. If a person has one of them in him, he will enter into Jannah. Hadrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that, O Prophet of Allah, do I have any of those qualities in me? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies, O Abu Bakr, you have all the 360 qualities in you. Subhanallah. Something off the topic, look at the affiliate of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the close ones of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the people Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make mashwera with. They had all the 360 branches of good qualities in them. Who are our affiliates today? Who are our advisors today? That is something we have to learn. That is something we really have to learn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. So all these narrations are telling us one thing: good conduct and character. And you know, I am nowhere trying to justify that one is allowed to abandon his salah, or one is allowed to not fast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. But let us understand, today we have understood the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we haven't understood what is supposed to be the outcome of those commands. Let us look at the five pillars of Islam. You know, Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. A person who doesn't believe in the Almighty, who doesn't believe in Allah, he's from the worst of the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He's not a good human. So who is a good human? The one who believes in Allah. So the caliber of scaling someone as a good human through Iman is clearly understood from this verse. A person has to accept Islam, automatically he's supposed to be a good human. Number two, Salah. Why do we perform Salah? Allah says, Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Your Salah is supposed to stop you from immodesty. It is supposed to stop you from wrongdoings. Why do we fast? Kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Fasting has been made mandatory upon you. Why? So that you become from the people of taqwa. Who are the people of taqwa? وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Run towards the Jannah of Allah, which has been prepared for the muttaqeen, which has been prepared for muttaqeen people. Who are muttaqeen? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّى وَالضَّرَّى وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those people who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who forgive others, who have good conduct and character, those are muttaqeen. So even the outcome of fasting is supposed to be becoming a good human. What is the outcome of zakah? خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. O Prophet of Allah, take zakat from them so that you can purify them, you can make them into good humans. What is the outcome of hajj? فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجْ فَلَا رَفَتَ وَلَا فُسُوكَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجْ. When a person has to intend of going to hajj, no speaking futile, no fighting, no argument. What is all of this? It is becoming a good human. So basically the five pillars of Islam are teaching us about becoming good humans. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good conduct and character. Respected elders and friends, all these hadith are teaching us one thing. If we want the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tonight, the way we have decided to reconcile with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us reconcile with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have wronged someone, let us go and ask for forgiveness. Not only ask for forgiveness, but try and rectify the situation. You know, subhanallah, we disobey our parents. We have disobeyed our parents. May Allah ta'ala forgive us. When we were young, our parents take care of 5, 6, 7 kids at once. When we grow up, 5, 6, 7 kids together are not ready to take care of one father and one mother. We have brothers, we grew up together. Madrasa, together, school together. If someone has to touch my brother, I am there for him. But when we grow up, we forget. We forget. We are not ready to talk to each other due to financial issues or any other issues, family issues. We say something wrong to our wives, our children, to the young ones, to the elderly ones, but we don't realize what we are doing. And then we are left with nothing with regret, but regret. Two brothers, they grew up together, they had the love, they fought, one passes away, and that is when one realizes, I wish only once I went to him, and I say to him that, oh my brother, let us put everything aside. Let us put everything aside. You are my brother. We only realize that when it is too late. We end up regretting, we end up uttering words to our wives and our children which we are not supposed to. And then we are left with nothing but regret. Look at this example of regretting later on. You know Harun Rashid, a very successful king. Harun Rashid had an argument with his wife, and he ended up uttering to his wife that tonight, if you sleep in my country or in the country where I'm ruling, then talaq, I give you divorce. A successful king. Later on, as I said, we are left with nothing but regret. He understood that I wasn't supposed to say that. What to do now? What should I do? I want to take her back. And she can't even travel. At that time, there was no mode of transport which we have now. Right? They only had camels and horses. And look at the kingdom of Harun Rashid. It was so vast. Even if a person has to start traveling, he couldn't make it till morning. So he started calling all the muftis. Give me a solution. Give me a solution, Mufti Sahab. I was angry, you know, I was very angry. I said it out of anger. I didn't mean it, but I said it out of anger. So then he called all the muftis. Everyone said that there is nothing you can do. So then he asked that, is there any student remaining of Imam Abu Hanifa, the Imam that we follow, that I follow? So they said that yes, there is this one student by the name of Imam Abu Yusuf, Yaqub Rahmatullahi Alayh. So he said, call him. Now Imam Abu Yusuf was from a very poor family, very poor family. His father was a laundry man. Upon one occasion, you know, his neighbor, a Jewish neighbor, he extended his wall on the road. So Imam Abu Yusuf went to him and told him that you are taking over the rights of others. This is a road for people to pass. So the Jewish replied to him that, are you a king or something that you want to come and start advising me? Are you even traveling in the palanquin, in that shelter which people used to lift? That was like the Mercedes of that time. Are you even traveling in that? When you come with that, I will break the wall for you. I will give you way. That is Imam Abu Yusuf, such a humble man and from such a poor family. So he is invited by Harun Rashid. And Harun Rashid mentions the whole incident to him. So Imam Abu Yusuf ponders and then he says to him that there is one way in which the divorce won't take place. So the king says, how? So he replies that if your wife has to sleep in the masjid today, the divorce won't take place. Why? Innal masajida lillah. The masjid belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't belong to any individual or any king. They belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tell her to sleep in the masjid, the divorce won't take place. Subhanallah. So then Harun Rashid became very happy and he made him the chief justice of that time and he gave him 1,000,000 dinar. And as Imam Abu Yusuf was going, Harun Rashid said that you deserve respect. Here is a palanquin for you and here are some slaves. Sit in it and go. When Imam Abu Yusuf went in his street, he stopped by the Jewish neighbor. He told the people, take me down. He went to the Jewish neighbor and he told him that today I've come in the palanquin. Can you break the wall? Can you break the wall? So subhanAllah, from this story we learn, firstly, when we do something wrong, later on we are left with nothing but regret. And secondly, the tables can turn anytime. The tables can turn anytime. So let us reconcile. Let us reconcile with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us reconcile with the people around us. Let us try and rectify this situation in whatever way we can. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to benefit the most from this night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who are forgiven in this night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala present our good deeds in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with us. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.